In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Good Tuesday afternoon, and welcome into Grant and Danny. It's August 13th, 2024. Darris Dameron, Ryan Clary on the production. We're Grant and Danny, and you are listening to The Fan. We are taking you all the way up to 6 tonight. That's when the Nats and the Orioles get ready to play. Pre-game with Charlie and Dave right at 6. First pitch at 6:35. Ian Valentino, 33rd team draft expert, ranked the rookie quarterbacks and their performances from preseason week 1. He joins us at 3. Ian O'Connor on A Day of Ian's, an author who's had best-selling books 4 different times, has a book coming out next week on Aaron Rodgers. We will talk to him about the controversial quarterback of the New York Jets. Danny, how are you?
I'm very well. We got a little rule today. On this Tuesday, you want to be a guest on the Grant and Danny Show, your name better be Ian. Don't come with this Ian. Don't come with this Mike or Steve or Phil or Dave or Peter. Not today. This is an Ian day on Grant and Danny.
A lot of NFL news today to get to right off the top. I want to start with J.J. McCarthy. This is a
what bummer,
for Vikings fans. J.J. McCarthy suffered a pretty serious knee injury. He felt some knee pain after his preseason debut. We were talking yesterday about how he had lit it up in his first exhibition game, and now he's going to have knee surgery, and they're not going to know the timeline of his recovery until they actually get in there and start moving some things around and look at that meniscus. But McCarthy will undergo surgery on the right knee. Kevin O'Connell, head coach in Minnesota, confirming today that McCarthy needs the surgery and that the timeline is for now unknown. I like McCarthy and how he handles things. So you know he's going to put one foot in front of the other and come back and rehab this thing strong one way or the other. But he tweeted to Vikings fans today, "Love you, Viking Nation. I'll be back in no time. Amor Fati," which I guess is basically the love of fate. It's about acceptance. I was looking it up today. So this stoic concept that you accept things, the art of acquiescence, accepting things that happen to you, and that's the first step, according to people who buy into that, of like making this something great.
Is that a little Latin from J.J. McCarthy?
It is.
Rookie quarterback dropping the Latin on the famous. I love it.
Thomas Edison sees his factory catch fire. He's standing there, all of his hard work going up in flames from the video I'm watching, and he says, "Go get your mother and all her friends. They'll never see a fire like this again." It's just kind of like dealing with what is, and we'll figure the rest out tomorrow.
How about that?
And that is what J.J. McCarthy tweeted, but he'll have surgery, and they begin the season now with Nick Mullins and Jaren Hall as their backup and their third stringer to Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold season again.
So he will be the starter for sure.
He is the McRib of quarterbacks. He is back once again. We don't know a timetable yet, right? I mean, last I saw it was still pretty early.
Well,
in terms of finding out how long he'd be out for.
Sorry, I thought you meant coming back early. I mean, there's a good chance he misses the entire year.
Yeah.
It depends. So either they have to cut away part of the ligament, it sounds like, or fully repair it. And if it's a smaller operation, I think it's a few months. If it's a full meniscus problem, then we'll see him next season.
See you next year for training.
But either way, I think it's a pretty damaging blow.
No, it stinks. And it just reminds you how fragile this whole thing is, right? I mean, the Teddy Bridgewater offseason casual drop back in an OTA, you know, whether it's a hit, whether it's a, hey, my knee's a little bit sore today, what's going on? Turns out you're going to miss months at a minimum, seasons at a maximum. Just stinks, man.
Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, who Ian O'Connor wrote the book about, and we're going to talk to O'Connor at 5 o'clock on the show today. Rodgers is just a fascinating guy, and he's become a polarizing guy over the last few years for obvious reasons. He's brought a lot of that on himself. But Rodgers was on the radio today in New York, and I listened to that interview on my way into the studio when he was on WFAN. And he basically talked about the preseason as being not realistic to the regular season in any way. And I just thought about it from the lens of how you and I were discussing the games yesterday, mm-hmm. with it's just hard to take things out of this. He said there are things that are authentic. He's like, the fact that you could get tackled, the fact that these rushers want to hit you, that's all real, and it's more real than practice. But to paraphrase, he said, you don't see real coverages. You see the most basic, normal, easy coverages you're ever going to see, and no one's going to try to fool you. He had one example of Wink Martindale with the Giants last year, like actually throwing some things at Rodgers in his first preseason game with the Jets that he played in years. And they were like cracking up because Wink had told him before the game, we're going to be real vanilla, don't worry. And he like looked over at the sideline and gave him the bird. And he's like, what are you doing, dude? But he's like, you don't see any real coverages. You don't see any of the actual test. And I say that to go back to McCarthy to say he was incredible. Touchdown passes of 45 and 33, 11 of 17 for 188. Vikings fans were throwing a party. You know, we're buying our own streamers here in D.C. after this week and putting on our party hats. But there's just so much still to be determined.
Of course. And you're trying to figure out what's real, what's not. We've been doing this time in memoriam since every preseason ever. There have been so many quarterback heroes that were real that turned out to be, hey, this guy might have something, a Trent Green, a Gus Frerotte, or otherwise. Then there's the, you know, the Colt Brennans of the universe, right, where it's preseason superhero, but, yeah, we all kind of know that that may be where it ends. But you look at some of those throws that McCarthy was making, I know the coverages weren't authentic. I understand that. Nobody schemed to try to stop him. It looked really good. And you can't take that away, right? You could say it's not a 10 out of 10, we should all be throwing a parade, but you can't say it's a zero either. You know what I mean? Like the way that it came out of his hand, how effortless it looked, ball placement, the touch, the strength, the accuracy, everything about it, it looked really good. So again, that's such a bummer.
The other big story in the NFL today, and it feels like just about once a week we get a pretty giant update on Brandon Ayuk, the San Francisco 49ers wide receiver. This came out 1.5 hour ago from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. He says there's an update on Ayuk. The Steelers and 49ers have a deal on a potential trade, and Pittsburgh is in a good place on an Ayuk contract, sources say. If San Francisco gives the final sign-off, it's done. So this is a non-update update in a way, but this is new information.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying that the Steelers and the 49ers are close. He doesn't use the word imminent. But we keep looking at this as a love triangle of sorts, like all three have to be appeased. He's saying the Steelers and 49ers have worked out their deal. The Niners haven't signed off on it in finality yet. But the Steelers and Ayuk are in a good place on a contract, and we know that Brandon Ayuk wanted to be a Steeler or a Commander. We've known that for the better part of a week now. So it's up to the 49ers to accept whatever the offer is from Pittsburgh, and then this thing is over. Rappaport also threw out there that San Francisco has an offer in place for Ayuk on a long-term deal that he has not yet accepted. So non-update update, which is to say that it does seem like progress is being made, and perhaps the most likely solution is still that he ends up in Pittsburgh. This is why yesterday I had him getting traded. I just think there's too much water under the bridge. There's been too much drama here for him to just show back up and act like nothing happened.
Yeah, so the update's not definitive, but it's basically saying there's going to be a conclusion soon. That's how I read that, right? In other words, if, let's say, that the terms for Pittsburgh sending, I'm just making this up, they're going to send back Van Jefferson, a couple draft picks, and something else. And San Francisco goes, you know what? That's actually not good enough. Thanks, but no thanks. Look, there's no more offers. There's nothing that makes us satisfied. Can you just come play now? Or it can be that, yeah, we're going to send you George Pickens for whatever reason.
But it's a lateral move. Doesn't his report contradict itself a little bit? He says the Steelers and 49ers have a deal on a potential trade. That's the first thought. Then he comes back and says, if San Francisco gives the sign-off, it's done. Well, how can you have a deal if you haven't given the sign-off? Do you understand what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
I think he's basically saying, like, in pencil, they've talked and they feel pretty good that they can get a deal done, but the Steelers haven't accepted the terms just yet.
Or there are three texts that he sent out. Two texts have been returned. Not George Pickens, who were we talking about? Brandon Ayuk's camp, yes.
Steelers
camp, yes. San Francisco camp, on Reed. You know, maybe. It's just, yeah, because we keep talking about it. It comes back to the same thing. To satisfy all three parties, I think, is really, really hard because of the contract demands, right? That is the complicating factor. I mean, look no further than Hassan Reddick in New York. Look no further than, I guess you can go back to Ayuk. The demands are X, and they are big, which I get. He's in his prime. He's excellent. He just had his career year. And, you know, this is his time to get there before he has to risk another year of injury. And so he wants to be paid, which I understand. San Francisco's perspective is, we're a Super Bowl contender. We still have to worry about that this year. If we're going to get something back, future picks is nice. A second and a fifth, let's say that's the value. That's adorable. That doesn't put a Super Bowl trophy in my case, right? That doesn't help me right now this year. So it's hard to satisfy all the parties here.
I just don't know how anyone can see the updates that come sparingly, but I would say with regularity, right? It's not very often, but every several days we get one.
There's something.
There's a routine here, and not think that we're moving toward some type of resolution via trade. It's August 13th. We still have almost a month until Pittsburgh or San Francisco are playing in a game, and it seems like the clock is ticking. So maybe he ends up in Pittsburgh. Speaking of Steelers wide receivers, former Steelers stud Martavis Bryant, who caught a 94-yard touchdown as a rookie and went for 765 yards in his second year in the NFL, signed today with the Washington Commanders. Martavis Bryant is 32 years old. His last game he played in the NFL was in 2018. The last time that he actually caught a ball in the NFL that same year was in 2018. He only did that 19 times. So you've got to go back to 2017 to find the last time he was a actual legitimate contributor on a team, like who regularly played and regularly got targeted. And he was 26 at the time, 7 years ago. People are working themselves into a frenzy today because Washington signed Bryant, who was in the XFL, put up, I think, 14 catches a couple years ago. He was on the Cowboys practice squad around their building last year with Dan Quinn. But he's going to be 33 this football season.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to reiterate, his last really nice season was 7 years ago. So you'll have to forgive me for not really getting overly animated about this acquisition. I don't want to channel ancient philosopher Ron Rivera here, but this is more interesting than it is important to me. I think it's interesting because he's a big name and he's 6'4". Tell me when he makes the team, kind of vibe for me.
Like, uh-huh.
This is what happens this time of the year. Guys get brought into camp. They work out. Camp bodies are added. They're subtracted. August signing. Middle of the preseason. They still got to cut 40-some guys. Like, I don't see this resulting in him catching a bunch of passes this year.
So here's why it's interesting to me. And I'm with you. It's probably, I can't believe we're channeling Rivera here at 215, but it's actually a great way to think about it. Interesting versus important. Here's why it's interesting to me. They could have signed Martavis Bryant any day for months. Months and months and months and months and months. Starting with January 1st all the way up to yesterday, right? They could have done this at any point in time. They played a preseason game. Things happened in that preseason game. You know, Bryson Tremaine had one catch on three targets. Jahan Dotson played deep into the second quarter. I don't know what to make of what I don't know what to make of it all. But I know this. After the game was over, now is the time we signed Martavis Bryant. Not before, not back in OTAs, not in March, not in April or May. After we played a preseason game. I don't know what that means exactly. I don't know if it means, oh my God, we need receiver help. I don't know if it means we need to push a couple of guys' buttons. I don't know if it means, you know, we decided that this 6'4" guy, now he's in much better shape to help us, at least in training camp or in the preseason, than he would have been a month ago. I have no idea what it means. But it's hard for me to ignore some kind of correlation that it wasn't months and months ago where, you know, as you talked about, it's a camp body. Because he's not making, who knows if he makes the team. I'm not counting on him for 50 catches or something crazy like that. But immediately after they play, kind of the first day we get everybody back together, now you sign the guy, I'm kind of going, my hand is going up just wondering what that means because there's something.
Yeah, that's fair. I think all that's true. I just, the reaction that I've seen today has been...
like they just signed a stud?
No, not even that. I think there's a few people maybe that think he's going to go catch 70 balls again in his career, and I will believe that when I see it. I'm not going to completely dismiss any possibility of him being helpful, but I don't see that coming. Martavis Bryant of 2016 ain't walking through that door. But the reaction I'm seeing is that this is somehow an indictment on their receiver room in some way. And if that were the case, then you should probably sign someone that can help you in September. And maybe they think that's him.
Mm-hmm.
But like, just as an example, there are guys available who have had recent good NFL seasons. There are guys that are going to come available that get cut from training camp who caught 50 balls last year probably. If they don't like their receiving room, that's the type of receiver you should be added. To me, this is a flyer. This is a kick the tires proposition. There is no harm in this. This absolutely
right,
makes
and no
sense.
Downside, yeah.
This is completely what I would be doing this time of year. A 6'4" receiver when I have nobody with any pelts on the wall with any size above 6 foot in my receiver room, basically, who had some big seasons years ago who's available. Sure, why not? There's nothing, there's no downside to this. There's no harm. I just don't know that there's a big upside necessarily either. And for the people that are saying, see, that this means they want some help in their receiver room, I guess. But if they wanted some help in their receiving room, I think they would probably go in a different direction to get someone who's recently helped the receiving room other than the XFL 14-catch season 2 years ago.
Yeah, someone that has catches within the last, say, five seasons.
So just like you might find since, that. Like, two presidents ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Which, again, I don't know. I'm not drawing any conclusions yet. Because how could you? I guess if you walk in with a preconceived notion, which I have, by the way, where I go, I see an issue. I don't think this receiver room is good enough. I think they should have done something more.
But I think people are taking their opinion and just putting a transaction on it.
And that's kind of where I'm going. You can't build the bridge between my view of their receiver room and
right. This
is why they did that. Like that's too much of a leap.
Like
that's too far.
Martavis Bryant starts opposite Terry McLaurin against Tampa. Like this move does nothing for their on-paper receiving room this season, mm-hmm. is, I guess, my point. That's all.
Right.
Does bringing in a dude who's had some success and some size make sense in the middle of August? Of course. But whatever you thought about their receiving room before this move is exactly how you should feel today. This doesn't change anything. Now, if somebody got cut, and I don't even know who to, you know, suggest, but let's just say a recent starter... or even a guy that we've... like, Russell Gage signed with someone 2 weeks ago, I remember. He's a former Buck, and he played with the Falcons, and he did some good things. Like, if he was signed, I would say, oh, that's interesting. Even Byron Pringle, to me, was more a move that felt like an indictment on the receiving room than this, because at least that guy caught balls here last year.
Yeah, I mean, for example, Juju Smith-Schuster just got cut by New England. Now,
yeah, who was horrendous last year.
And has he lost a few steps? He didn't have that many to lose in the first place, and he's lost them. Michael Thomas, a guy that at one point was one of the preeminent receivers in football, is available. Hunter Renfro is a slot guy. I mean, there have been a number of guys.
Renfro, that's a volume guy you could throw some passes to. He could catch some passes. He can move the sticks. But I actually think they're pretty set at the slot, more so than on the outside. To me, it looks like they need, especially now that they're moving Dotson into the slot, which he ran, I think, 58% of his snaps. One of the reasons he ran so many preseason snaps, I think, was he was getting run inside. To me, it seems like they feel like they need someone out wide. And partially, that's why you take a chance on a guy who's 6'4", who can go up the ladder. But two things can be true. Their receiving room isn't great, and also... that doesn't necessarily mean that Martavis Bryant is fixing that.
Yeah.
It's just a guy that they signed today.
A different way to say it. This is not them panicking and going, oh my God, we need help at receiver. We've got to do something about it. If you're going to do something about it, in quotes, it's not a guy that's been out of the league for 6 years.
I want to hear from you guys, though, and I know Danny does too. 800-636-1067. Let's open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Did you view the move today as an indictment in some way on the current receiver room? And how do you feel about this receiver group? We'll dive into that in detail next. But after one preseason game, seeing Dotson playing a lot more maybe than you expected in the exhibition opener, what's your take on what Washington's assembled at wide receiver? 800-636-1067. If you want to join us, we're Grant and Danny on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
And adding another receiver just into the mix, we thought was the right thing to go just right here in camp. And Martavis has a really cool skill set. He's got size and length and the ability to use him in the red zone. So when you see him today, he'll stand out. He looks like a linebacker playing wide out from a size standpoint. So I got a chance to work with him previously when I was in Dallas. And so I'm looking forward to having him here today.
Obviously, when you look at the top receivers on your team, not the smallest guys, but not necessarily bigger guys. Is that size? Is that something that you thought you needed more in this room, possibly?
Yeah, and I think when you do, how do you feature somebody with that kind of size? What are the routes that they do on these contested catches? So, yes, it was definitely part of the consideration.
That is Dan Quinn, but you already knew that. We are Grant and Danny. Welcome back. You're listening to The Fan. Martavis Bryant signed by the Commanders today. That is the big news out in Ashburn. Bryant is 32, he'll be 33 in December, played his college ball at Clemson. I'd imagine Adam Peters, who was a highly regarded scout when he came out, put in some work on him years ago, way back in 2014 as a young scout 10 years ago. But people forget, he was on his way to stardom. He missed an entire season in 2016 with a suspension. I looked it up. I found 3 different suspensions for various substance abuse things. I want to say it was marijuana problems that he was having, obviously battling some demons that hopefully are behind him, and hopefully he's been able to turn that part of his life around. Also, the league seems to tolerate some of those things better and more now than they used to also. But that having been said, it's just been a long time since he could help. So the question for you guys is, what do you think is behind this move? I hate to be boring. I don't think there's a there. I don't think there's a whole lot to this. I think they worked him out. Several weeks back, if you remember, a couple months back, they probably said, let's revisit this if we want to in training camp. And now, at a time where there's 10 guys running routes every day on your practice field, they said, why don't we bring in the 6'4 guy who had some success in the league and kick the tires? That's all I think this is.
The only thing I would add to it, I thought about this while Dan Quinn was talking in that clip, is they crossed over when he was in Dallas, talking about Bryant, on their practice squad. And this is somebody that Dan Quinn can kind of, I'm going to say use, that's not the right term that I mean, but basically use as an example of, look at this level of perseverance. Look at what this guy's gone through. Football was taken away from him for more than half a decade. He was thriving in the NFL when you guys were in grade school, talking about maybe some of these younger players, right? 22, 23 years old, etc. He's now here trying to live out his NFL dream still.
Like
what
a grind. Straight thing?
But not even that, more of like a motivator. Being like look at this, look at the level of stick-to-itiveness that this guy's had. This grind can be taken away from you in an instant, and here he is as an example of overcoming a pretty big obstacle. And we're going to try to continue that and have him sort of as a kind of a shining example maybe to some young guys.
Let's go to Sean, who's in Falls Church on Grant and Danny, wants to join us on the MGM National Harbor Listener Line. Sean, what's up?
How you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, bud.
I do think that this is actually more of a defensive move. I think that this is to help the DB room. I think that, let's say he makes the practice squad, the scout squad. He's a 6'4", wide range, wide size kind of guy that they need to guard against. that's an example. You know, they don't have too many guys in the wide receiver room right now that can really stretch the defense in that way. I think that, you know, worst case scenario, he's a guy that guys can guard during practice to practice against, you know, the CD Lambs, the DK Metcalfs that they're going to see. And at best case scenario, he makes the squad and is in the red zone and is a liability in a good way.
Well, to that point, Sean, I don't think it's a coincidence that they signed him and he's 6'4". And I don't think it's a coincidence that they also signed veteran Byron Pringle going back to the first week of camp, and he's 6'1". They clearly want to find some size to add to this room. I think they know Olamide Zaccheaus, who's 5'8", is going to make it. I would imagine with McLaurin and Dotson, who's not big, that Luke McCaffrey, who is over 6', is going to be in, so that's helpful. But if you think he mostly helps you in the slot, and you think Dotson mostly helps you in the slot, you're wondering, well, who's our guy out wide? They have one guy with any size making plays regularly in Ashburn throughout camp, and that's Bryson Tremaine, who's an undrafted free agent from Stanford, who would be a great story if he made it. So my guess is they're hunting some size. I think there's probably legitimacy to that. Let's go to Pat in Haymarket. Hey, Pat.
Hey, good afternoon. Hey, the back end of the Redskins or the Commanders wide receiver room isn't very good. The front end isn't very good unless Jahan Dotson improves. So I think there's nothing wrong with it. And this kind of reminds me of a guy named Barry Wilburn who played for the Redskins. He's on a Super Bowl championship team. He sat out of football for 2 to 3 years for different personal issues. I think maybe substance abuse, but I'm not sure. But then he came back, made the Browns. Then he went to the CFL. Then he came back, played for the Eagles for a couple of years. So you lose nothing. I don't think it's a bad move at all if he makes the team. And the previous caller hit it. You know, he was right about
that's
the
smart point.
The,
yeah.
Appreciate the call. You broke up a little bit.
Yeah, as a practice look, again, there's no downside. This isn't signing a guy to a $20 million deal and having him bust.
No, he's making the minimum.
Yeah, this is nothing.
And he probably won't make your team. I don't think there's a single person who would say this is a bad signing. How could you? Like, what is the worst case scenario? The worst case scenario is that he gets in trouble and you cut him in a week and it looks bad that you gave him a shot. And that's unlikely. The really likely outcome is just he doesn't make your roster,
mm-hmm.
or he spends a lot of time on your practice squad this year. So what? I mean, it's going to be him or a dude that just went undrafted, probably. Like, there's nothing bad that comes out of this as far as I'm concerned. Wide receiver room really quickly. So let's find out if they keep – how many do you think they keep? 6, probably?
Okay, so this is – it's going to get a little hairy with punt returner, kick returner. Because, I mean, who do they have back there? Pringle and Kaz Allen back there.
They have, but generally you would keep 6. I guess it's possible they'd keep a 7th, but Austin Eckler can return kicks.
Yeah, the kick return spot's going to be funky to me. I'm not sure how not only them, but every team's going to do it. But just to play it out, I would say 6 is the most likely.
So let's rank 6th, and then if they kept a 7th, what it would mm-hmm. look like. McLaurin, Sharpie.
Yep.
Dotson, Sharpie.
Yep.
Olamide Zaccheaus, I'm going to say Penn, but your boy thinks Sharpie, but I think I just got to be fair and say Penn.
Penn, but I've underlined it.
Okay.
3.
De'Ami Brown, Sharpie.
Penn, but yeah.
Okay, now we're at 4.
McCaffrey,
right? Sharpie.
Yeah, 5.
So that's 5. There's one spot left, and we're down to Jamison Crowder, Mitchell Tinsley, Kaz Allen, Bryson Tremaine, Byron Pringle, and I guess if we want to throw him on there, Martavis Bryant.
Yeah, 6, maybe even 7 guys for that last spot. If they go 6 and there's no sort of special returner, you know, extra that.
If Olamide Zaccheaus is your return man, I don't think you need to keep Crowder. Because even though Crowder helped them as a receiver last year, you're heavy in the slot. You got your smaller guys who could do some of the Crowder stuff, and you've got a return man. Mm-hmm. So then Bryson Tremaine's interesting because of his size at 6'4". Like, I would really consider keeping him if he could play teams and cover a little bit. Or I guess now the new term on kickoffs instead of cover is get off a block and make a tackle.
Yeah, whatever we call that.
Mitchell Tinsley was on the team all of last year, has shown some things in camp. Kaz Allen, they designed some plays for. They clearly like him, but he's a very small, shifty, kind of redundant guy, I'd say, to Zaccheaus. So maybe that's where they think they're holding out hope that the 6th receiver is someone with a little size that can do more things on the outside, and that's Pringle, Tremaine, and Bryant when you look at it that way.
Yeah, so there's duplication in terms of skill sets. There's like a lot of crossover when you do the Venn diagrams. Like Luke McCaffrey is a 2.5, right? A guy that's kind of a slot receiver, maybe a little on the outside. Well, so is Dotson. So is Zaccheaus to a degree, probably more of a slot. Jamison Crowder, again, similar to that skill set. So if you're looking for something different, that's Bryant. Bryant's different than those guys. It's basically Bryant and Tremaine fit that bigger body. I guess you have Pringle to a degree, right? I was thinking of like the real big guy, 6'3", 6'4". But yeah, Pringle's
in
tall
terms
enough
of role,
to do it.
But yeah, right. If you're looking for size, there's only two.
Right.
Tremaine and Bryant are both 6'4". Tremaine's had a whale of a camp, though, and I'm keeping the youth and just seeing what's what over a guy who's 32. Let's go to Justin in Alexandria. How are you, Justin?
Good. How's it going, fellas?
Good, dude.
Good, yeah. So, you know, just to the first point, I think it's nothing more than what Grant said, just a practice body, a camp body, somebody who I'm willing to bet my car will not be on the team come the first game of the season. To add to that, it's simple. What can he bring to the table on special teams, right? To be that 6'7", 8 receiver maybe, you have to add value somewhere else. And, again, I know a lot of people say it's an outside receiver, he's tall, jump ball. But honestly, I'm taking Terry McLaurin on a jump ball over Martavis Bryant any day of the week. Half of Terry's catches are already contested catches. I feel way more comfortable throwing him a fade in the goal line than Martavis Bryant. So, yeah, I just want to say, like, I truly don't believe he makes the team. I think this is a camp body. To Danny's point, how he said, like, why not get a Hunter Renfrow or somebody like that? As somebody who had friends in the league, and a common question I'd ask is, why don't they sign these vet guys? And a lot of those guys are truly, they don't want to be camp bodies. Their agents tell the managers they're not camp bodies. They're looking for a permanent home. They still think they can play right. They played the previous season. So I think maybe that's why you don't go that route of a Juju Smith-Schuster or a Hunter Renfrow, because I truly believe that their agents are probably letting teams know that, hey, this is not a camp body. We would like to see a full plan for that, because we all know as the season goes on, injuries come up. And guys like a Renfrow will be needed to where he can just hop in and play right away, right?
That's
not having adjustments. Mm-hmm.
So, that's a good point. You often thing. See, yeah. Thanks for the call. I don't mean to cut you off, but it's a really good point. Like, yeah. A lot of times, guys don't even sign right now. Those veteran types. Like, if you're Juju Smith-Schuster, who just got cut the other day by the Patriots, why would you sign a deal right now to go play in camp and to go play in a preseason? Like, work your butt off, get in shape, or stay in shape, I guess is the way to put it. And then start making phone calls in 3 weeks, you know, right before the season starts, basically, for a guy like that with some pelts on the wall. I mean, Bryant's got to prove it a little bit. The only thing I'd say about the jump ball thing, there's something, too, in this preseason game. Like, I'm going to call his number a couple times and see. We're in the red zone. It's first and goal from the 9. Hey, where's Martavis? Get him out there. We're running a fade. We're running a jump ball. Just see what he can do. See what it looks like. Because if he is the sixth guy and he is just your size red zone player, maybe you can have 2 or 3 plays for him, but he's got to go out and prove it. He's got to moss some people. He's got to show he can do it a little bit.
Without a doubt. Again, and this is, to me, is what the preseason should be for, right? Like these weird situations where you're you know, on 4th and 17, instead of just trotting the punt team out there, do something crazy, right? Because again, the win, the loss, that stuff doesn't matter. Throw a jump ball to Martavis Bryant. Let him do something special or not. Find out what the deal is. I mean, That, to me, is kind of how it should be used. People play it a lot closer to the vest for whatever reason and do it sort of like an authentic game situation. There's far more value for me in force-feeding a couple of those situations like you're talking about. Plus, this joint practice situation this week with Miami, you might get a chance to do a couple things in that regard, too.
Wait till you guys hear what Jaden Daniels texted Cliff Kingsbury the night before the preseason opener. I think you'll like this. You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Spread it out on third down. Daniels pulls the trigger, looking for the deep ball down the sideline, and it's hauled in. Dayami Brown, great snag for the first down.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Jaden Daniels did get to go deep once in his preseason debut, and it was a thing of beauty. 42 yards downfield, audible at the line, called his own number, and took a shot. It's time for a flyover, Dayami. They told me I can't, but I'm going to buzz the tower anyway. Made it happen. Did you know, Danny, that the night before the preseason opener, so Friday night, Jaden Daniels texted Cliff Kingsbury and asked him to call a deep ball on the first play?
I didn't know that.
Listen to Kingsbury on the Athletics football podcast with Diana Rossini.
How much do you guys talk? How does that work? What's the communication like with your quarterback?
Quite a bit. Yeah, quite a bit. We text quite a bit. Yesterday he was texting me play ideas for the first play. He wants to throw it deep. I'm like, we're not throwing a deep first play of the preseason. So he is really good, man. He's has a great rapport with the guys, with the coaches, and he wants to be coached.
So it's hilarious. He's asking Kingsbury, please call a deep play so I can throw it deep on the first play. Kingsbury says, no, we're not doing that. And then on the second throw, he just checks into it anyway and drops the dime.
A, I love that so much. Again, this is what I want. What we should want as fans is the pitcher to not want to come out of the game. We should want the quarterback that says, can I throw a touchdown pass on this one? Can I check to a play where I throw a touchdown? We should want the guard to be able to say, can you draw up the play where I shoot the three? Right? That's the enthusiasm. That's that, if I miss the one before, I'm getting the next one. I love that zeal, and I love the coach saying, no, the best thing for us is to do something else. That's everybody doing their role. I like that a lot. Every part of that I like. I like the communication aspect, too.
The text, though, to the coach.
Yeah.
Say, come on, man.
Coach, idea. First play, deep.
I just like at a time where you would think a lot of rookies are just crossing their fingers that they can complete that first pass. You know what I mean? And I guess it's funny and ironic to say what I'm saying because Jaden Daniels' first pass was actually a running back screen that he threw 800 miles an hour, 2 feet
just
over
94 on the black.
Austin yeah. Eckler's fingertips. So maybe he's right there with him. Yeah. But a lot of rookies are sitting there going, okay, I'm going to start off with the easiest throw I can make. That's what they're giving me. They just want to get me into the game. Let me break a sweat. I'm going to throw a running back screen. And like most guys are just thinking about that constantly. And he's going, hey, let's go up top. Tells you a lot about the kid's mental.
There's again,
his arrogance, his confidence, his cockiness.
Yeah, there's a swagger there. I've come to get annoyed at that word a lot of times because it's misused, but that's what that is, right? There has to be this internal belief, regardless of outside forces, right? When people are telling you can't, you need to not only not believe it or hope that you can, but know that you can. That the previous 10 incompletions are just a precursor to the 11th, which will be complete. Like, that's what you need, that's what you want, and that's how he's wired.
If you guys want to catch up on anything that happened earlier in the day as it pertains to J.J. McCarthy, who is out indefinitely for the Vikings, sounds like it could be for much of this season with a knee injury, or the news of the day on Brandon Ayuk, we broke it down right off the top of the show. But I will just say on the McCarthy front that we're going to be talking to Ian Valentino coming up at the top of the hour, who's the draft analyst for the 33rd team, and he ranked every single QB from the first round's debut in the preseason. And like everyone else, he was very, very high on McCarthy. I just think that adds to the devastation within the fan base. When you see it and it looks really good, that's way worse to have him injured after that than not knowing and haven't unwrapped the present yet. Don't you think?
Yes.
Like if McCarthy got hurt on the first day of training camp and there's just a lot of question as to what would he look like and is he going to be able to operate this offense? Whether or not that was an authentic performance, the likes of which he'll be able to pull off in the fall against different, more complicated coverages, I think that's a fair debate. But you just saw it. You just got the taste. Reminds me of my dad.
It's cruel.
My dad had this story forever where his seventh grade teacher, Mr. Lipkus, was this guy who would, they'd all go to the water fountain in a line. And basically, as soon as your lips got on the water, he would pull you away. So, like, my dad would talk about how he'd be so thirsty after recess. He still remembers this. He's in his 70s. And Mr. Lipkus, you'd get up, you'd, like, put your lips right on the water fountain, you'd get the water into your mouth, and then he'd pull you away really quickly. That was Vikings fans' experience with J.J. McCarthy this year if he's out for the year.
What a reference.
Mr. Lipkus.
Mr. Lipkus?
I think it's Lipkus.
That's hard to say.
Yeah.
That would be a problem for me as a kid.
You also wouldn't get a lot of water in his class.
But it's also so that's that old school way where it's like too much water is bad or like everyone needs to go. It's like, no. Let me hydrate, man. I was just outside. I was at recess. Mr. Lipkus.
Here's head coach Gerard Mayo had some words about his team fighting. Guys that are getting into fights. He said, if you're a starter, you're going to play the whole preseason game. If you're not a starter, you won't play at all. That's how he's trying to get his guys to stop fighting at practice. I'd like to go on record as saying I am very curious about Gerard Mayo already. He's doing enough things that make it seem like he isn't experienced, which he's not experienced.
Right, he's not.
He was just a position coach who got the job in what was kind of not that extensive a hiring process. But there have been a few of these now where I go, everyone's doing one thing, the Patriots are doing another. How sure are we that he and that operation post-Belichick are going in the right direction?
Because I love that idea generally of trying to find a way to curb it, right? Other than like you run sprints after practice, whatever. So it's innovative. It's interesting.
Do you think he would really do it, or is it just words?
It might just be words. It feels more words-y.
I mean, if it's just words, then fine. That's great. No problem. It's just a threat.
Mm-hmm.
But can you imagine if one of your veterans gets into a fight in practice?
Yeah, like your starting guard has to now play the whole preseason game.
And gets hurt in the third quarter while you were trying to teach him a lesson because he shoved a guy in a practice.
Mm-hmm.
Settle down. Let's talk to Ian Valentino, who ranked all of the rookie QB performances. How did he feel about Jaden Daniels? That's next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Spread it out on third down. Daniels pulls the trigger, looking for the deep ball down the sideline. And it's hauled in. Dyami Brown. Great snag for the first down.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Jaden Daniels did get to go deep once in his preseason debut, and it was a thing of beauty. 42 yards downfield, audibled at the line, called his own number, and took a shot. It's time for a flyover, Dyami. They told me I can't, but I'm going to buzz the tower anyway. Made it happen. Did you know, Danny, that the night before the preseason opener, so Friday night, Jaden Daniels texted Cliff Kingsbury and asked him to call a deep ball on the first play?
I didn't know that.
Listen to Kingsbury on the Athletics football podcast with Diana Rossini.
How much do you guys talk? How does that work? What's the communication like with your quarterback?
Quite a bit. Yeah, quite a bit. We text quite a bit. Yesterday he was texting me play ideas for the first play. He wants to throw a deep. I'm like, we're not throwing a deep first play of the preseason. So he is really good, man. He's has a great rapport with the guys, with the coaches, and he wants to be coached.
So it's hilarious. He's asking Kingsbury, please call a deep play so I can throw a deep on the first play. Kingsbury says, no, we're not doing that. And then on the second throw, he just checks into it anyway and drops the dime.
A, I love that so much. Again, this is what I want. What we should want as fans is the pitcher to not want to come out of the game. We should want the quarterback that says, can I throw a touchdown pass on this one? Can I check to a play where I throw a touchdown? We should want the guard to be able to say, can you draw up the play where I shoot the three? Right? That's the enthusiasm. That's that, if I miss the one before, I'm getting the next one. I love that zeal, and I love the coach saying, no, the best thing for us is to do something else. That's everybody doing their role. I like that a lot. Every part of that I like. I like the communication aspect, too.
The text, though, to the coach.
Yeah.
Say, come on, man.
Coach, idea. First play, deep.
I just like at a time where you would think a lot of rookies are just crossing their fingers that they can complete that first pass. You know what I mean? And I guess it's funny and ironic to say what I'm saying because Jaden Daniels' first pass was actually a running back screen that he threw 800 miles an hour, 2 feet
just over 94 on the black.
Austin Eckler's fingertips. So maybe he's right there with him.
Yeah.
But a lot of rookies are sitting there going, okay, I'm going to start off with the easiest throw I can make. That's what they're giving me. They just want to get me into the game. Let me break a sweat. I'm going to throw a running back screen. And like most guys are just thinking about that constantly. And he's going, hey, let's go up top. Tells you a lot about the kid's mental.
There's again,
his arrogance, his confidence, his cockiness.
Yeah, there's a swagger there. I've come to get annoyed at that word a lot of times because it's misused, but that's what that is, right? There has to be this internal belief, regardless of outside forces, right? When people are telling you can't, you need to not only not believe it or hope that you can, but know that you can. That the previous 10 incompletions are just a precursor to the 11th, which will be complete. Like, that's what you need, that's what you want, and that's how he's wired.
If you guys want to catch up on anything that happened earlier in the day as it pertains to J.J. McCarthy, who is out indefinitely for the Vikings, sounds like it could be for much of this season with a knee injury, or the news of the day on Brandon Ayuk, we broke it down right off the top of the show. But I will just say on the McCarthy front that we're going to be talking to Ian Valentino coming up at the top of the hour, who's the draft analyst for the 33rd team, and he ranked every single QB from the first round's debut in the preseason. and like everyone else, he was very, very high on McCarthy. I just think that adds to the devastation within the fan base. When you see it and it looks really good, that's way worse to have him injured after that than not knowing and haven't unwrapped the present yet. Don't you think?
Yes.
Like if McCarthy got hurt on the first day of training camp and there's just a lot of question as to what would he look like and is he going to be able to operate this offense, whether or not that was an authentic performance, the likes of which he'll be able to pull off in the fall against different, more complicated coverages, I think that's a fair debate. But you just saw it. You just got the taste. Reminds me of my dad.
It's cruel.
My dad had this story forever where his seventh grade teacher, Mr. Lipkus, was this guy who would, they'd all go to the water fountain in a line. And basically, as soon as your lips got on the water, he would pull you away. So like my dad would talk about how he'd be so thirsty after recess. He still remembers this. He's in his 70s. And Mr. Lipkus, you'd get up, you'd like put your lips right on the water fountain, you'd get the water into your mouth, and then he'd pull you away really quickly. That was Vikings fans' experience with J.J. McCarthy this year if he's out for the year.
What a reference.
Mr. Lipkus.
Mr. Lipkus?
I think it's Lipkus.
That's hard to say.
Yeah.
That would be a problem for me as a kid.
You also wouldn't get a lot of water in his class.
But it's also so, that's that old school way where it's like too much water is bad or like everyone needs to go. It's like, no. Let me hydrate, man. I was just outside. I was at recess. Mr. Lipkus.
Here's head coach Gerard Mayo had some words about his team fighting. Guys that are getting into fights. He said, if you're a starter, you're going to play the whole preseason game. If you're not a starter, you won't play at all. That's how he's trying to get his guys to stop fighting at practice. I'd like to go on record as saying I am very curious about Gerard Mayo already. He's doing enough things that make it seem like he isn't experienced, which he's not experienced.
Right, he's not.
He was just a position coach who got the job in what was kind of not that extensive a hiring process. But there have been a few of these now where I go, everyone's doing one thing, the Patriots are doing another. How sure are we that he and that operation post-Belichick are going in the right direction?
Because I love that idea generally of trying to find a way to curb it, right? Other than like you run sprints after practice, whatever. So it's innovative. It's interesting.
Do you think he would really do it, or is it just words?
It might just be words. It feels more wordsy.
I mean, if it's just words, then fine. That's great. No problem. It's just a threat.
Mm-hmm.
But can you imagine if one of your veterans gets into a fight in practice?
Yeah, like your starting guard has to now play the whole preseason game.
And gets hurt in the third quarter while you were trying to teach him a lesson because he shoved a guy in a practice in August. Settle down. Let's talk to Ian Valentino, who ranked all of the rookie QB performances. How did he feel about Jaden Daniels? That's next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.